Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez, and joining us in the show today is the one and only Dow Nguyen with Nguyen Fitness out of Texas. What's going on, Dow? How are you doing today, man? Happy Tuesday.
Man, I'm blessed as always, JJ. How you doing, man?
There we go. Every day is a good day, and we're excited to have you on. And before we dive in to the nitty-gritty of what you have going on with Nguyen, you know, first, Dow, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you describe your business to people and what made you get started in the first place?
Well, as far as how I describe it to people, it's pretty much just all things fitness and nutrition. I try not to live on myself to just one avenue of it. As far as how I got into it, I won't say it was on accident, but it wasn't exactly planned. When I was in my mid late 20s, I had been kind of living a party boy life and getting in trouble a whole lot, chasing illegal money, that kind of thing. And it wasn't too long before I realized there's not much future in it because I was just getting in trouble left and right. So I needed something that was going to kind of take my focus away. So I got into boxing, of all things, man. And it was kind of a return to my love of sports, which I had when I was a kid. I was hardcore basketball, but I kind of got away from that when I got grown and was able to do things that I wasn't allowed to do when I was younger. And boxing really did take me away from it because I realized you can't smoke and drink and then go in there and box these guys, man. They're just going to tear you apart. And I got myself in really, really good shape. Functional shape was unbelievable. I was like a machine. And as it turned out, I was pretty good at boxing. So I decided I was going to take some fights and I became an amateur fighter, like, you know, golden gloves tournaments, things like that. But at my age, I kind of got a late start in the game and I realized that I'm not going to the Olympics and there's not going to be a whole lot of people knowing who I am. So me trying to make a career out of it was not really like, what am I going to do? Make 500 bucks a fight and fight 3-4 times a week and make a decent living? Like, there's no way. So I kept myself in fight shape. I stopped taking fights and I kind of hung around my trainer and let him kind of show me the ropes on how to train fighters and train boxers because I loved it so much. I didn't want to leave it. And I really got a lot of experience doing that, but I realized there's more money in training people for boxing for cardio reasons because not everybody wants to get punched in the face, right? And these kids, most of these kids that are good at fighting are mostly coming from impoverished areas. They're tough, right? They're mentally tough and they don't have a whole lot of money. So you just kind of hope that one of them blows up and doesn't forget you if he makes it big. You're doing a lot of favors along the way. So again, kind of long shots there. So I started, using boxing as kind of a training device for people who wanted to lose weight or learn a little bit of self-defense, get some confidence. And then I realized there's even more money in the general fitness field. So that's when I decided to get my personal trainer certificate, my nutritionist certificate, and I branch off into that field. And there's plenty more to that story as growth would allow, but that's how I got into it.
I love it. I love it, man. And so, you know, let's dive a little bit deeper here into Nguyen. So how many clients are you guys at currently or yourself? How much are you at currently?
I have a little over 30 currently. It's been as high as 44, I think was the highest amount of clients I had at one point. And it goes up and down, you know, give or take five here, five there, you know. COVID kind of did a number on it a little bit.
I think for everybody. And so let me ask you this too. I'll use myself as the avatar. If I came in down and I was like, yo, I'm ready to get started, man. Like, let's go. What would I then have to pay to then become an active client?
Well, my going rate without any deals or us working out any negotiations is 75 bucks an hour, right? And that does include macronutrient coaching. I give you a free macronutrient plan, teach you kind of how to read food labels so that you can learn how to sub in and make your own food plan. But if you're just too lazy to put that kind of thought into it, I do still sell meal plans as well. And that's another menu option. But that's the basic running rate in one-on-one training.
Totally, totally. And so for you specifically, what has been the best method to finding new clients?
Man, I'm kind of an old school guy. The majority of my clients have come from human referral. I won't lie, Facebook, it brings more, I guess, questions than any other platform I've ever tried to advertise on. But most closed deals have come from existing clients bringing people in, human referral. It's, I don't know, maybe it has to do with my age. I'm 42 years old, and I'm not really in that field, you know, that social media field so hardcore. So maybe if I was in this newer generation mindset, maybe most of my clients would come from that because, I mean, Facebook is a great marketing tool.
Yeah, and completely understandable. Let me say this too, Guy. I think for the most part, you're a professional trainer, gym owner, fitness professional, whatever you want to say, you're not supposed to be a professional marketer. So at that point, you can't fault yourself at that. You know, I think it's yes, you have to understand it on a small scale, but you're not really supposed to be the pro there anyway. So I respect the fact that you're open to kind of understanding that, hey, that there is an avenue there where you can get leads. And so this is probably my favorite question. And hypothetically speaking, of course, here too, traffic, leads, clients were unlimited and you can have as many as possible. Where you're at now, hypothetically speaking here, how much more can you handle?
I don't have a whole lot of time slots left for clients. You know, the group classes, those allow me a little bit more leeway. I can fit multiple people in there. As far as the selling and trading of the equipment, that's unlimited. I mean, it really, you don't have to have a time slot to do that with me. So I have a lot of stuff on like Amazon and eBay. You know, I sell online as well. So it's that part of the game. I'm just scratching the surface and it doesn't really consume my time the way actually training clients does. I can fit a few more in at this point, but it's mostly going to be, I hate to say this, I have to be somewhat selective. At this point in my career, rather have serious clients that are going to do what I tell them to do and actually take my advice and show up and be consistent and show me the results rather than a whole bunch of people that pay me but don't do anything, right?
Exactly, because I think you get the bigger return off the folks who do make that commitment into themselves, right? But now, this is kind of curious. This is kind of just off topic anyway. I mean, have you considered or do you do anything online as well?
As far as like online training, I use this app that we're on now, Zoom, a lot for, I have some out-of-state clients. Some of my clients, a lot of my clients from that JNS Fitness Gym are of Pakistani or Indian descent and they leave all the time. And so when they're over there or wherever they go to, we train on Zoom at different times to try to keep the sessions going. I don't want them to fall off. Particularly that demographic, man, a lot of those people, when they come join up the gym over there and train with us, they have never even been taught the first thing fitness related. Like, we are the first people to really try to get them to invest in their physical health like that. And so it's already kind of an uphill struggle. The last thing you want is for them to go away, start partying and fall off the boat before they've even had a chance to see it good. Because they're already 30, 40, 50 years old and really haven't done anything.
No, that's so true. That's so true. It's such a big eye opener for a lot of people. And I think the fact that you understand that, that's major. And so this is a little bit of a longer question, Dow. So if you need to repeat anything, by all means, just let me know. So, but it's a good way to kind of self-reflect and kind of see it from an outside perspective, almost interview yourself in a sense. You know, in the fitness and gym industry, there's about three pillars of business we use pretty typically. And that first one's going to be your lead generation, which is your marketing, your client acquisition, which is your sales, and then your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those three, where do you feel like you could improve the most?
Probably the marketing. Like I said, I'm an old school kind of guy. And I, even though I do have an online presence of sorts, I just don't think in that mode, man. I'm that guy. I'm out there making memories with my family and I got this big fancy phone with a fancy camera on it and I still forget to take pictures. You know what I mean? So I'm just not in that personality of pictures and videos or it didn't happen, but I'm finding more and more that that's a useful thing to do. So I won't say that I'm just non-existent on that plane, but I probably need to put a little bit more effort and forward thought into that because it's the way of the world now.
Totally. Totally. And I appreciate the honesty and transparency there. I think, you know, oftentimes people come on air and they want to seem like everything's all fine and dandy, which is, again, not saying anything is wrong, but the fact that, you know, you can come on air and announce to the audience and to myself that, you know, you can improve, that you can do these things. I thank you for that. And I'm sure the viewers appreciate that as well, regardless of the success that you had, you know. So, and last two questions for you here now. For you, what's the bigger picture? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, man, I always wanted to, and this may seem like a small goal to you, I always wanted to own a trainer's gym, where independent trainers come pay rent to me, train their own clients. It's kind of the gym atmosphere I grew up in as a young trainer. I fell in with owners of a gym like that. It was in Sugar Land called One-to-One Training Center. And they were big in the NPC for a while. They won NPC Gym of the Year in 2012. And all the trainers, well, at least 99% of them were competitors. A lot of their clients were competitors. And these were the people that kind of showed me the ropes of how to run a gym, how to be a good trainer, the type of things it takes to make business decisions and keep a gym running. Big shout out to Byron and Violet Walton, by the way. They were the ones, man. And they're from New York too, by the way. Yeah, they're big with the GBO, that kind of thing. But being that that's kind of where I was raised in, I have an affinity for that type of atmosphere, man. Like, I have no problem with your average gym goer just wanting to get in shape, not your hardcore guy. Like, no judgments, dude. Like, you get to whatever level of this you want to, right? It's not, I'm not the guy that's going to intimidate you. I'm not a huge guy, right? But I know how to make
you.
That's
so sound.
I've worked 10 years on that. Thank you. I'm not that guy, right? Like, I'm the guy, like, you want to get in shape, come see me. I got you, right? You know, but you have to be motivated to do it. So if you're not really in it or you're scared to do it, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to waste your money, man, right?
No, no.
But being that I was raised around those hardcore guys and those, by the way, they have a bad rap, man. Everybody thinks that they're like the douchebags you see on the Planet Fitness commercials, right? Like, they're here to intimidate you and sell you packages and all this stuff. They're not like that, dude. They will be the first ones that if they see you come into the gym and they, like, you're struggling, you're a newbie, they'll be the first ones to come up to you, man, and say, it's good to see you in here, man. I want to see you again tomorrow, right? It's the complete opposite of what you really think they are or what TV would have you think they are. And being raised around that kind of thing, I love it. I love it. There was a similar mentality with the boxing, right? You push, but you don't make everybody feel like they need to be you, right? To me, it's all positivity.
Yeah. I love the mentality there, Dow. I love that. I just love what you speak for as well about the industry and just about the people who are perceived in the wrong way. And I think that that's huge, especially, but understanding who you are, because I mean, a lot of people, even though you might not think you're the biggest guy, you still got that size on you. And I think some people still might be a little intimidated, but I think at the end of the day, the fact that you don't label yourself as such, they won't take you as such because you don't believe you're that guy anyway. So I think that's awesome. And one last question for you, Dow. You know, if you can go back in time to when you first started this journey, and you can give yourself that one piece of advice you think you needed to hear when you first started, what would that be for you?
Man, it would actually be a piece of business advice. I told you I didn't start my LLC until this year. I should have started that thing right from the gate, dude. I've always been self-employed since I've taken this field, right? I've never really been an employee of somebody else, even when I was training clients. For other gym owners, it was still kind of on a 1099 basis. And at the same time, by the way, they trusted me enough to be able to pay rent to the gym and train my own clients on top of training their clients for them and manage the gym and clean the gym. So I guess two pieces of advice. Start your LLC as soon as possible, man. You get unbelievable benefits from that. And as your credit grows, you get all kind of doors open, right? Second piece of advice for free, always be honest, man. Don't bother yourself with trying to snake clients, steal clients. Don't mislead somebody into thinking you're going to work for them, but secretly you're trying to take away things and move on one day. Be honest with them. Even the people that I train clients for now, when they were recruiting me, I told them, look, I have my own business. I have my own clients. I'm never giving that up. I have no problem training your clients for you at whatever rate we agree to, but I'm never giving my end of the business up. And to this day, they still allow me to do that. And not only that, when I made this move to open up this warehouse and try to move into like equipment dealership, they offered money for it. Like they wanted to put money behind me to do it, right? Not only did they not discourage me, but they wanted to make sure that I'm good to make the move, right? So honestly, I believe get you everything that you want.
I love that, Dow. Talk about a freaking mic drop, man. Holy cow, that's awesome, brother. Look, I think it's a good place to wrap things up on this episode. Before we sign out, Dow, you know, please shout out your Instagram, your Facebook, your website, anything you have. Where can people find out more about you and the business?
Well, Facebook, I have a business page, Win Win Fitness LLC. Instagram is win_win. Well, I guess I need to spell that. Win, W-Y-N-N underscore win, W-I-N underscore fitness underscore LLC. I have a Snapchat, win underscore fitness, I think, or fit. See, this is how out of touch with my social media I am. Right? I post on it pretty much every day, but let's see, what else do I have? I'm working on my website, winwinfitness.com. It's not up and running yet, but that's in process as well. That, I think that's mainly going to be more for the equipment deal. That's where it's at right now with me online. Big shout out to J&S Fitness in Sugar Land for being a big part of my career as far as continuing to support me and continue on in the same location that one-to-one training center used to occupy and sold to them. So they kept me on there. They shout out, like I said, to Byron and Violet Walden. Without them, none of this would ever happen, man. They taught me pretty much everything I know and continue to learn from them. Big shout out to people like yourself, Gym Lords and JJ, people who put small guys like us on the map somewhat and let us get a voice out there.
I love it, Dow. Thank you so much for that, man. And look, we absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast. And look forward to see what you can accomplish down the road. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in and join and talk about your fitness business within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Mr. Joseph Brandenburg of True 180 Personal Training, coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina. Joseph, how are you, sir? What's going on?
I am doing great. How are you?
I am doing very well. I appreciate you asking. And obviously, Joseph, we're here to talk about your business. We're here to talk about True 180. Before we venture off into all of the business and the strategy and the tactics, I think context is important for people listening. And so tell us a little bit about how you describe True 180. What is it that this business is about?
Well, the blandest explanation is we are a small group personal training studio for women only. That's like the most.
That is incredibly straightforward. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's more. I'm sure that barely scratches the surface of what this is about, but personal training for women at its heart, right? Before. Yep,
small group.
In small groups, sure. And so I think it's helpful to sort of look back and see how we got here in the first place. Obviously, you've spent a decent amount of time in the fitness industry at this point, but take us back to when you opened this specific business. When was it, and what were sort of the goals? What were you thinking about in terms of opening up this studio?
In 2016, my wife and I, we sold the larger training, kind of multifaceted training studio that we had in Washington, D.C. We moved down here. We knew that we wanted to do something smaller, around the 1,000 square foot mark, because that would prevent us from getting a lot of employees. So we basically be forced to stick to full-time people. Because in DC, size of cost of living, having a large training studio, we had classes, open gym access and other things. You have to have part-time employees. And I don't know, regardless of what anybody says, you cannot make a part-time person as good as a full-time person. And everyone would tell me that, oh, that's fine. As long as they're 80% as good as you are, that's good enough. But I just, it bothered the hell out of me.
Yep.
I couldn't stand it. So,
yeah. And I think in fitness, at least, there was far fewer part-time sort of people. A lot of people left fitness in general. And so it's a struggle, and we can talk about staffing for the entirety of this podcast, I'm sure, but at least for the time being, you opened up this facility. What did you say? 16?
Yeah. The first week of September of 2016.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about your experience, at least as a business owner in general. What's been your favorite part about owning your own business? And secondarily, what's been the most challenging part about owning your own business?
My favorite part about owning my own business has been just the opportunity to make things happen and to, you know, like, I guess it's kind of cheesy, but to make dreams come true. Like if I say, hey, I want to do this, this period of time, putting in the work, struggling, failing, figuring it out, how to make it happen. And that's been the best part. And the worst part, well, like I already said, was the struggle trying to do the impossible of turning a part-time employee into someone who could actually do their job as good as a full-time employee.
Yeah,
that's a myth that just gets sold a lot to facility owners.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you.
Some people are okay with it. And if you're, well, you just got to know, are you okay with that? Because that's going to have a lot to do with your success of if you're going to try to have a bigger facility and scale up, it's got to be okay with you.
Yeah.
So coming to grips with reality there. Then getting probably the second biggest struggle would be getting bad advice about the money side of the business.
Sure. Evaluate or expand on that a little bit more for me, because I'm sure there's plenty of bad advice out there, Joseph. I'm sure we could provide all sorts of it. What was there something specific that happened?
Let's see. I've been, my wife and I, we opened our first facility back in maybe 2009 or 2010. So that was a while ago. And back then the push was for that everybody should have a minimum of a 3,000 square foot facility that offered.
I see.
The whole gamut and spectrum of stuff. We were killing it in like about 500, maybe 550 square feet. We were killing it there. I don't know how we fit 20 people in there, but we did.
That's got to be tight.
It was,
wow.
But I mean, people loved it. Like,
yeah.
We didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So, 500 square feet, margins were amazing. But then the business coaches just go, oh, you got to have, bigger facility, blah, blah, blah. So, in order to do build out on 3,000 square feet, even pinching every single penny along the way, you know, you're going to shell out
a couple bucks.
You pinch every penny, maybe you could get it done for $50 to $75 a square foot. So, you know, how long does it take to recoup $150,000, $200,000? Takes a long, because you're not recouping it from revenue. You're recouping from bottom line, not top line, which
of course
I did not understand.
Yeah.
You know, so well, I think revenue went up, but the bottom line shrunk.
Yeah. I think fitness has this weird ego play where we measure everything on you're only successful with a giant facility or multiple locations or thousands and thousands of members. But there's plenty of people out there who are content to serve a smaller population. And I think the nature of the game is the smaller the crowd, the more you're able to serve them, right? You can pour more value into each of these people instead of being spread thin across however what your membership was. And you're right, commercial space, renovations, these things are not cheap. And so it does take a financial toll for sure. So at least as the business stands now, we've downsized a little bit and shifted the focus more towards the small group and the personal training model. What spoke to you about those two types of services? What stood out to make you want to focus on those more than anything else?
The small group personal training. Well, we had, so we had open access, with program design and large group stuff. And then we had the small group and we had the occasional one-on-one person, but of everything over the, probably I had been coaching for 18 years at that point. The thing that had the greatest impact on people was the small group personal training.
Sure.
The one-on-one, it just gets awkward, right? And the cost per hour is just, it's prohibitive to a lot of people, the large group stuff and the do it on your own stuff. There's just not enough accountability and most people just simply are not going to do it on their own, no matter how many, behavioral modification courses you take, people are what they are. So the small group allowed us, we could have decent margins and we could offer at a per session price that allowed people to train with us, realistically 3 times a week.
Yeah.
For about the same as what it would be one-on-one once a week, really.
Yeah.
So it was just a win-wins. And then that way you're not in that weird one-on-one thing all the time where you're like, you're trying to be the entertainment, but getting in the way of the work,
Yeah. The classic ongoing struggle of personal training in our industry is that one, there's downtime, right? You do a set that lasts maybe 30 seconds to a minute and then we're hanging out, just kind of being a friend for a little while.
Right.
And two, at a certain point, I can only serve so many people in my day. I'm going to hit this natural ceiling and what makes sense from there, enter small group, right? It allows us, to your point, to serve a little bit bigger of a population of people while keeping in mind, we still want to focus on coaching and tailoring it to the individual, but we can do so at a little bit more digestible of a price point for the client, as well as they now have a little bit more of a social impact, a little bit of competition or camaraderie, if you will. It seems to be a win all around.
Yep.
And so that's become your focus. Walk us through, at least from a numbers perspective, how do your numbers now compare to pre-pandemic? Were you guys hit pretty hard or were you able to survive?
Well, both.
Okay.
We were hit pretty hard and we were able to survive. We got, I think it was like March 16th or March 17th when the great state of North Carolina said, it's no longer.
You're closing for just 2 weeks though, right? Remember?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
And they're like, you got to close your doors. We're also not going to do anything for you. Go F yourself. Right. So we got smushed real hard. we pivoted to doing the training on Zoom about, you know, within 12 hours of the announcement. And, you know, since that was the only option available, it was the best option available.
Yeah, made the it best functioned of it. As best it could, at least.
Yeah. You know, there's some people it works really well for, and then there's a whole lot of people it's, you know.
Yeah.
But something beats nothing. So, you know, we scraped and scrapped and struggled. Luckily, since, you know, personally, we are extremely financially conservative. You know, we were able to not pay ourselves for a significant period of time, and, you know, we were fine.
That helps.
Yes. Yeah.
There were a lot of people that were hoping for whatever sort of revenue was coming April and March or April and May beyond that weren't able to do as well as you did. So we weathered the storm, at least now here we are operating with some semblance of normalcy. Is there still some social fears and anxiety lingering? I think so, but we can get back to at least training people the way that we wanted to train people. Are you guys back to where you were? Are we beyond that? What does that look like?
I mean, we're back. Depends on the month, right? Some months we're back where we were. Some months we're better than we were. Some months we're a little bit below. You know, we're...
Sure. So,
but
fluctuation, at least.
I want to
pick your brain about the marketing for this, because I think marketing for the personal training or the semi-private client is a little bit different of an activity than marketing for a boot camp or a traditional open gym style facility. What's worked for you? How have you been able to rebound and regrow this membership? How are you guys generating interest in people joining the gym?
Well, I'll tell you what hasn't worked.
Okay, just as valuable, sure.
If not more, because of the money you save. Social media advertising of any kind.
Has not worked, is that what you're saying?
Not at all. It has been, I went through like, okay, what's the cost per lead, cost per sale, lifetime client value of somebody that we got from social media. I want to say, yeah, going off memory, but I think it was about 10 months because of like the high cost per lead from the social media, like Facebook, Instagram, et cetera. It was like 10 months to break even on the sale. And then on average, those people didn't even stay for 10 months. So like, even if we signed somebody up, basically
we weren't profitable. It
cost us money to sign that person up. So we were like, you know what? We'd be better off with fewer clients, didn't have them, like,
sure.
It's weird to, but so,
yeah. I've heard from a number of fitness business owners like yourself that have done this sort of thing. They spent money on whatever it is, Facebook, Instagram, Google, hoping for some sort of positive outcome. And when it didn't happen, they have this like jaded feeling that get a little bit burnt by it. Let me ask you this and dig a little bit deeper, because I think this is important. Was it handled in-house? Was this outsourced to somebody? How did you guys actually put that in play?
We did everything. So we tested for some months outsourced. We tested for some additional months outsourced differently. We tested for some additional months in-house with coaching, and then just in-house our own thing. So, I mean, like,
and across the board,
lots and lots of testing. So every single, no matter how you sliced it, in-house worked the best of all, but I mean, it's like the tallest midget. It's not really,
it moved the needle, but not as much as you would have liked it,
but the sales, like, you know, it just costs too much to make the sale. So, and the person that is attracted, for whatever reason, no matter how many, you know, video, still, free thing, not free thing, it's just the people that were finding us that way were not people who were like particularly good fits and weren't going to stick around. I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of ad sets that we went through with testing and A/B splitting and, you know, all the whatever. I even forget all the words, but the jargon about, you know, testing the ads. Google was a hot spot for a short or a bright spot for a short period of time. And then it kind of seemed like, you know, once upon
a time. Google's a little bit different. With it, at least with Google, you're only paying if they actually click it. Facebook, Instagram, you're paying regardless. You know what I mean?
True. But like, it's kind of like, you know, once upon a time, you could get great leads at a reasonable price on Facebook and Instagram. And then probably, I don't know why, doesn't matter. Over time.
Powers that be.
Powers that be. It doesn't even matter why, because I can't do anything about that. The ROI on it just goes into the toilet. Google started out being a phenomenal source of leads at a reasonable price, who were qualified leads. And then, eventually just over maybe about a 12-month period of time, it just shifted to, they didn't necessarily get more expensive, but the quality of the lead just went boom.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that if we got somebody on Google, it would be 90% show rate. And then over time that dropped to like a 50% show rate. And that's with the, you know, same follow-up systems and confirmation systems. And, you know, if your show up rate goes to half, it's...
naturally we have less at bats. We're going to have less success on the scoreboard. That's for sure. And so negative, well, sort of neutral to negative, if you will, experience on paid social for you. Do you think at any point that you'll look into any other type of strategy, or are you happy letting this be organic?
Well, we're pretty happy letting it be organic. The less time and stress that we put into that, the more that we're just sort of naturally able to divert that energy or redirect that energy into our existing client base.
Yep.
Which then they're happier, and then they tell more people about us. So ignoring the paid advertising eventually led to an increase in referrals. You know, it's not like a instant thing.
Yeah, it's not a one-for-one, but I understand.
That's what's nice about the paid stuff. It's like you feel like you did something, because no matter, even if they're garbage leads, something happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Typically
control
that's...
it.
Yeah.
And you can make it happen now.
That's the reason people do spend money is because of the control, to your point. If we could get all of the growth that we ever wanted from referrals, organic, word of mouth type leads, we wouldn't have to spend any money, right? I agree with you.
I mean, to an extent, realistically, you could. You can't control it, and you can't like, you can't step, it's not like a gas pedal, like the paid stuff, like you just put more money in, you
or
get more out.
Dial or turn down the dial, right?
Yeah, the referral stuff is going to have its natural ebbs and flows and trends over time, but it's just slow.
Sure.
Understood.
And I'm on the same page with you there. And I want to sort of take the next step here. Obviously, all of these leads are wonderful.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is a business, and we need dollars and cents to be the ultimate scoreboard here. And so some sort of sales process is inevitable. When you get in a lead, Joseph, from whatever source, right? They clicked on a Facebook ad, they a referral from Tommy, whoever, they walked in off the street, whatever the source of the lead is.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in that process until that person signs up as a new member?
We pre-qualify them on the phone to see if we want to do like an in-person initial session. There's only two of us, and it's a pain in the butt to rearrange our schedules to make that happen. We don't want to do that many of them. I mean, we want to do with the right person, but like, you know, if you sound like you're like kind of sort of going to make a lot of excuses and just, you know, be a pain in the ass, then, you know, I'd rather go play with my kids than, you know, waste my time. So we pre-qualify them on the phone. Then they have their initial like assessment, starting point, whatever you want to call it. And then they do, either they sign up right away or they do some sort of trial, and then they sign up during the trial. Our sign up percentage, I think about 2017 or 2018, I got focused on improving our sales process, and we've 3.5-4 years at about 85% sign up.
Okay.
So we gotten,
yeah, so gotten pretty good at it. Things have improved, and I think that probably stems from a number of factors. One, weeding out some of the tire kickers, some of the people who may not be looking for whatever it is that you offer over the phone, right? That helps. If we have a lot less people simply wasting time, for lack of a better term, that probably factors a huge amount into the closing percentage. And two, I would imagine you've got a lot more reps under your belt at that point. This is a skill like anything else. People say, I'm not good at sales. Well, maybe you just haven't done it enough. You now at this point have probably hosted hundreds, if not thousands, of these sort of consultations. I'm sure you got better at it along the way.
I did. Well, actually, Greg does 98% of them.
Okay.
So he's gotten a lot better. I am actually
we all need more people like Greg.
Yeah. I've got a lot of like weird idiosyncrasies, and I'm always like trying to tamper with things, which, you know, sometimes it works out well and sometimes it doesn't work out well. But like, you know, I wouldn't, you know, if we had employees who say Joseph shouldn't do that because Joseph is all, you know, eventually Joseph is just going to deviate from things because he can't not.
This is just who he is. Right.
So, you know, like when I'm actually able to follow my own instructions, like I'm good, but it's just a matter of time before I'm just drifting off.
Experimenting and tinkering. Yeah. I think by nature of being an entrepreneur, I think that makes sense. I think the personality type attracts that sort of person. And so whatever reason, at the end of the day, a higher conversion percentage is good for the business, regardless. I want to expand this conversation a little bit, because so far it's sort of just been front end. How do we get people in? Keeping people is imperative here.
Yep.
That's a far easier or far more important. I don't want to say easy because I don't think that's the right word here. It's far more important task than driving volume on the front end. It's a lot easier to fill a bucket if that bucket isn't full of holes.
Yep.
So for you guys, what factors in most to retention? How are you keeping people longer term?
Well, there is a lot of things, and I really could not tell you any like one thing that's like magical.
Yep.
But I'll say some stuff and it might seem excessively basic, but
typically simple is a better answer.
Cleanliness is huge. Cleanliness, music, which is a huge pain in the butt because I haven't ever found any like services. So like that's manual labor on my part. Like I have to.
Making playlists.
I make a lot of playlists, and when I am lazy about it, it has a negative impact on retention. Making sure like your capacity, I would say for a small group personal training, you're probably looking at about 70 maybe 75% capacity is going to be the limit of where your clients are then frustrated with their inability to get the appointments that they want. So, you know, whatever, you've got 100 slots per week. I'm just making up a number. You got 100 slots, you get 4 people per hour. You like to think, oh, I can service 400 sessions per week. Realistically, you know,
it doesn't quite work.
300 is the top end there, and it's probably a little bit less. So maybe 280. So just making sure that we, you know, we've done like several renovations to the facility in order to increase the usable square footage in the studio so that we could add one more spot so that we could, you know, solve that frustration for people. Keeping the programming fresh and interesting, you know, as a fitness person,
yeah,
you find it interesting to do, or, you know, you're fine doing like the same old crap all the time, but your clients, they don't like that at all.
Yeah. Novelty is of value here.
Yeah. And then scalable novelty. So there's that, there's, you know, like reward campaigns for consistency. Like that's important. Because at the end of the day, if people are consistent, they'll feel better. They'll have some kind of results, you know, within what you can control, which is when they're with you.
The hour of the day that they're there, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they'll, and if nothing else, they'll feel better. And that is probably the most important thing.
Sure. Yes. And so, a number of different things, if we're to boil it down.
Reaching out to people. Personally,
yeah,
there's no silver bullets.
Yeah. But I think if I were to at least summarize, it's caring about the person's experience, right? Mm-hmm. Wanting to provide a valuable service so that they feel like the money that they're spending, they're getting more in return.
Yeah.
And at least to put a metric on it, you mentioned earlier the payback period for the social media leads that you were getting was around 10 months. Are your clients now, is the lifespan of this greater than 10 months, at least on average, or?
It is. I haven't calculated that actually recently enough for the, as a whole, I only did that for the social media just to kind of see, because I had a hunch like this seems like
not great.
We are paying for the privilege of wasting our time.
Yeah. So gut feeling, at least.
It was a gut feeling, and I checked the numbers. And yeah. I was like, yeah, this sure. number is smaller than that number. That's not good.
Yeah. Anybody can see that this is not as effective as we would have liked. And so, I mean, Joseph, our entire conversation has been sort of focused on operating and growing a business in this sort of semi-private model.
Yeah.
As you look...
I can tell you, but so about 97% retention.
Yeah. So
on a monthly basis.
So good. I mean, if industry average is 90, 97 is certainly above that. I can do that, Matt.
God, 90s. I mean, that's 120% loss per year. You're
big turning deal. Over your people whole turn it over their membership. Months. Pretty quick, yeah. So,
ooh. All right, that would be
above average at least. So, I mean, as you look to the future with this, what's sort of the bigger picture? What's the longer term goal for your business, for True 180?
The longer term goal. Well, you know, I really enjoy what I'm doing. As far as I know, Greg enjoys what he's doing. So just keeping things interesting and finding ways to be consistently excellent in what we're doing is,
continue the trend.
Yeah, continuing the trend. And not saying that I don't have an expectation that if we continue just doing exactly the same stuff that we're doing today, that somehow that will lead to continued success, but just adapting as things change and helping our clients to, you know, get value out of what we're doing.
Yep.
I used to think that having a second facility would be a good idea, or a third facility, or, and I don't have any friends who've opened a second or a third facility who still thought it was a good idea 2 or 3 years later. They've all,
that's like, that's interesting. First, you know, anecdotal note.
Oh, that first 6 to 12 months, they're like, oh. And then after that, you know, after the first 12 months, they're just like, oh God.
Yeah.
I hate this.
It's not all glory and glamour, that's for sure.
No, it's, and you know, they're only like, and they only complain about the fact that it's not profitable or it's breaking even, but they're not like thinking about, well, you shelled out $200,000-$300,000 to get that open. If you're breaking even.
And ROI can be measured in a number of ways, and your time is now split 3 different ways, and the back end just isn't quite worth it. So,
yeah, like I've like have been like hearing like different people, like they're doing like franchises, and like there's one in particular, it's, you know, what, $500,000, $500,000 something to get that, to get your first one open, and usually you got to do a multi-location deal. And I was talking to the franchisor, right? That's the people who issue the franchise.
Yep.
And he was saying, you know, in the pro formas, if you look at it, you know, you recoup your investment in like 5 years.
And probably closer.
I just asked him, like, I understand it in Excel, but like, if you're doing 300,000 per year, you're doing great, and you net out 20%. I don't know. How long does it take for you to even get back the 500
that's
put in the first place?
That's closer to 10-year payback. Yeah. It's the franchise route is such an interesting one, because I think people get sold on, and we could certainly have this conversation for hours and hours, but people get sold on, this is a business in a box. We'll tell you everything that you need to do. And it doesn't quite work out that way the majority of the time, but
it doesn't. And then they'll say, oh, you know, well, you can use the power of leverage, which is code for, look, you can get into debt and do this. Like if you want to have $500,000 of personally guaranteed debt per location, that sounds like a nightmare. By the time you get to your fourth location, you owe $2 million.
Yeah. Well, at least these are things that you're thinking about as a business owner. I think a lot of our industry doesn't consider these things before making the leap. And like I said, we could go on for hours and hours, but Mr. Joseph, as we run a bit shy on time here, we'll have to start to wrap things up. Before we sign out of here entirely, I want to give you the chance to tell people where they could learn a little bit more about your business. What's the best website we could send people to?
True180personaltraining.com. 180 is the numbers.
Number 180. Perfect. This has been a bunch of fun. I really appreciate your insight and your willingness to share some of the wisdom and lessons that you've learned in your tenure as an entrepreneur. I'm excited to see what the future holds for you, and I wish you nothing but the best, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And to everyone who tuned in, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you'd like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Jim Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I'm your host, Austin Montero, and today we are joined by Sarah McDonald from Focus Gains in Boston, Massachusetts. Sarah, how are we doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you for coming on and joining us. And looking forward to this conversation. We talked off camera here a few minutes ago. So really cool stuff going on, especially at this time in like your business's, we'll say life cycle, so to speak. So this would be cool. So Focus Gains, you're up there in Boston, and we do a lot of stuff. But before we dive into that, Sarah, let's talk about, you know, what was your goal, personal goal, when you decided to start this business?
So my personal goal was, I was kind of at a job that I wasn't passionate about. I was helping rehabilitate drug addicts. This was back in 2017. Yep. And I knew that I had a very humanitarian help, like I like to help. Sure, but I was looking for, I've always been a gym rat, number one. So just a light bulb went off and I was like, you know what? I'm going to combine fitness. I'm going to try to monetize off of fitness, become a trainer, and kind of just dive into the fitness world and see where it goes. Hmm.
I love that you said monetize off of fitness. So like, I think that's a good thing, right? Like, because you hear a lot of times people said, oh, I don't do this for money. And it's like it's a bad thing. Like, no, we should monetize off of our service because it's such a valuable service and product that we offer. Would you agree?
I agree too. I mean, your passion should always be a paycheck. You know, at the end of the day, we need to pay our bills and survive. And what better way than to do what you love? And
exactly. That's like the most addictive drug there is. If you can make money doing what you love and are passionate about, you'll just do a better job. Like, you'll care more and like be more disciplined and all that stuff we need to do. So very cool. So that's a great, great goal. 100%, you know, left kind of a job you weren't super passionate about, said you were, I wrote down passionate gym rat as you were talking there. So we're kind of that passionate gym rat, so to speak.
There's a lot of us out there.
Yeah, for sure. So we know why you started this thing. So now let's talk about like how you run this business, what it's all about. So Focus Gains Boston. First, for the listeners, we have a lot going on, Sarah. So tell us their services and the model that you do run there.
So basically my model is mind, body, soul. I think for us to be operating at our highest self, we need to have a strong mindset. We need to have a strong sense of spirituality and in touch with our soul. And then obviously we need to be physically healthy as well and be at our healthiest and at our strongest. And I think we should strive for all three. So that's basically my model is building strong mind, body, and souls.
Okay, awesome. Love it. Mind, body, soul. Have to have all three for sure. Now within that, I know we're offering a bunch of different services. You got PT, you got group, a bunch of other stuff. Tell us about what services you offer there.
So basically, I'm such a like catering type of person. So I kind of made my business a one-stop shop. So you don't have to go there to get something. You don't have to go over there to get something. You can get everything all like under one roof. So I offer personal training, group classes, online training, fitness challenges, meal prep, fitness apparel, energy healing. So it's kind of like literally like, you know, it's created like a little lifestyle community where it's a part of my branding, and it's also just, I think it's convenient for everyone, you know, and they feel more comfortable, like knowing where the source is and, you know, not having to like go to 20 different places to get one thing.
Sure. Yeah. No, I love that. And our members are going to spend that money on other items as well, like clothing and
food,
supplements. So if you have it all there, I think even better. Like you said, that one-stop shop.
It's a great way to like boost your stream of revenue is having providing multiple ones.
Yep, for sure. I agree totally. It's a great way to ascend members to increase average revenue per member, which I wrote down as you were saying. So I agree totally. Now, so we have online option. We have challenges that we run, meal prep, like you said, energy healing, personal training, apparel, group classes. Now, Let's talk about ways. I want to dive into those a little more here in a second, Sarah, but how do you go about marketing your services and your products? How do you get new clients in the door, so to speak?
So, well, at this point, I've been doing it for so many years. A lot of it is word of mouth and just people that are happy with their results and their service, but they tell their friends about it. That's just something that builds over time. But I also definitely utilize social media. It's a free tool. I do the ads as well. I'll run some ads. And you know, definitely like partnering up with people, collabing, because you're getting access to different networks that you normally wouldn't have access to. So that's kind of been my strategy with marketing for now. It's been very cost effective the way that I've been doing it, which is great if you're a small business, you know, trying to save some money. So it works for me.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I like that you have a multifaceted approach to marketing, which we need to do. I want to dive into a few of those real quick here, Sarah. Now, social media, the organic outreach part, this can be big and great, obviously, and it's free. You said you brought up, you've done some paid advertising. What's been like your experience with that? What's it been like the return on investment? How's that worked for you?
With that, it's kind of a hit or miss. I would suggest maybe investing in an ads class, like a master ads class, because, you know, people kind of just will buy it and then like select their audience or whatever, and then call it a day, put in like $5 to $10 a day, call it a day.
Right.
There really is like a whole, like, I mean, people do this for a living. Yeah. Like there's a whole like side to it where you can easily for 40 out get like a course, study up on it and really maximize your ads. So you're not wasting money and you're reaching the most amount of people and you're able to track what ads are working. So you can kind of like delete ads that aren't working and then like boost ads that are working, you know? So it doesn't hurt to kind of just like educate yourself on how to run an ad instead of throwing your money away.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. It can be a great tool. And especially right now, I'm seeing like, you know, back in the day, like say four or five years ago, Facebook and Instagram ads were like cost per lead was super high. And now we're kind of getting back to a golden age of when they're kind of coming back down again, which is great for us as like gym owners and fitness entrepreneurs to, you know, obviously use those platforms best way possible. But yeah, like you said, it's definitely a skill that we need to, we should be learning or reach out to other people to kind of show us the way to do it.
If you can afford to hire someone, definitely take a quick course and add it to your knowledge.
I agree 100%. Now you brought up partnerships too, like strategic partnerships. What does that work look like for you and how have you been able to best use that to basically grow your business?
So what I'll do is I'll have like wellness events where I kind of just invite people that are in the industry that kind of want to like show off their brand to my network. And in turn, they're kind of bringing their network in through promoting. So I'll do like wellness events, maybe partner up with some like different brands to kind of like, you know, cross promote. I do a lot of cross promotions, like with massage people and, you know, services that I don't offer that maybe they're interested in with me. I do a lot of cross promotion. So that's kind of how I've been doing like the promotions. I want to get more into paid promotions on like Instagram and stuff like that. I haven't really like gotten to that yet, but it's definitely on my to-do list.
it's huge for sure. Again, massive platforms. We got to use those 1,000% in this space, especially for what we have going on with retreats and merchandise and meal prep, training, obviously. So a lot of different, avenues that you can play with, which is awesome. You know, a lot of different touch points for sure. So like, Sarah, you sound super busy. What is like a day like for you right now? Like a typical day in your life as an entrepreneur in this fitness space, you know, in the year 2022?
I mean, it's bananas, but I wake up and I take every day as it comes. You know, I kind of try to organize my day by category. So Mondays is meal prep Mondays.
Yep.
I am completely... Don't ask me about training. Don't ask me. We'll get a response until Tuesday because, you know, I just have to switch my brain to meal prep era. So I try to take it day by day. And you know, like I'll have like on my group class days, I'll be all about like group class era. And then like my one-on-ones, I wake up at 5 a.m., 4 a.m. and I start looking at their programs, sending them programs, you know, communicating with them via email or whatever. I try not to text them that early, but so it's kind of just like making sure you have that checklist of all the things you need to get done and just taking it off as you go. And that's it. Like, you know, you got to take it as it comes.
For sure. 100%. And kind of systematize your day and everything since you have so much going on, you know. Do you have a team of people with you, or is this a one person show?
Yeah, it's usually just me, but I do have a chef. I do have like, you know, like I have loyal clientele that want to work for me, which once I open my gym space, you know, like I'll have a front desk person or like I'll have trainers if they want to rent the space out because, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for so many years. It's like you accumulate people throughout the years. Some people are kind of just want to jump on the bandwagon and like, you know, like be a part of the movement because they see the potential. So I have quite a few of those, like one in particular, this girl, Lauren, I'm sure she'll be listening. She's just like always like, do you need help with anything? I think she kind of feels bad for me because I'm like this one person trying to like do everything.
Right, exactly.
And she's like, you poor thing. Do you need any help?
Great to have members like that. I can recall some of mine as well. So it means we're doing a lot of things right, you know. It means they really they know we care about them and they do the same back in return. Yeah. Sarah, how did this meal prep part of the business come about? Because I think that's pretty unique.
Was meal prepping before I was training. This is kind of, it really happened organically. Like I was meal prepping for myself, like I always do. And then I posted it on, at the time it was Facebook before people were really using Instagram. And then everyone was like, oh, can you cook for me? And then, you know, my entrepreneur brain was like, well, the gears started turning in my brain and I was like, this is really even before meal prep was like popular or a thing. Like, so I just had a few clients that, you know, while I was prepping for myself, I just prepped them and I charged them like $120 or whatever. And then it became more systematic and organized. I started having a menu because I saw the potential of the money there. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like at the point now, it's like I make in 6 hours meal prepping what I'll make in like an entire week of training. Wow. So it's kind of like something that I will never let go of because it's just, you know, kind of my bread and butter. So
That's awesome. Like, and obviously ROI is huge there. So like leads us into the next part perfectly. Your new location, right? You have moving into a brick and mortar here shortly. I won't say when, because who knows, like with real estate gets crazy, right? But soon, so very soon. And you'll be able to do meal prep, running it out of there as well. So talk to us about your new location and how that's going to kind of help change your business.
So I think it's really just going to be able to help me scale it. You know, right now, like I was saying earlier, I'm kind of like a nomadic person. I don't have my own space. I rent out at other spaces. So it will really be able to kind of just seal the energy of everything I offer under one roof. And it will also be able, I'll be able to scale it to, you know, larger. And so honestly, the skies are the limits moving forward when that happens.
Yeah, I like it. I love it. So perfect time to talk to you now. In the new location, obviously the meal prep part of the business, are you looking to really grow the fitness side of things too?
I definitely want to. I think like it all works together because, you know, like for example, my clients, as you know, they always say nutrition's what, like 80% of it, working on 20% of it. So
maybe more.
Like it's kind of like being able to say it, show it, and offer it. Like so as far as the working out, yes, I'm definitely that's going to be a huge part of it. There'll definitely be memberships So yeah. You can come and work out on your own. If you want to do the classes, the classes. Yeah. I'll probably have a tier system. And I think it's just something that, you know, I preach the whole 80% food, nutrition, 20% exercise, and I'll continue preaching that. And it's really been able to have incredible before, like, results. Like, I have so many befores and afters, and a lot of it has to do with me pushing that model.
Right. That's huge. Yeah, those pictures are huge too for promotional, like, avenues, you know, massively.
You can after if you're a trainer, because you can talk all day, you can post yourself working out, but nothing's gonna get you clients like those before and afters.
I agree,
word of mouth as well.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Those are huge, especially when you walk somebody into the gym. You know, say you have a good little office for a sales office, and they see all these testimonials on a front wall, they're gonna be like, holy hell, this actually works, you know. Yes. So it helps everything, and it's great. And I love that. So within regards to like the group training, the PT, how have you come up with your pricing structure? Is it based on other gyms, or is it your own thing, or how has that worked?
I do look at the competition, just because, you know, like I feel like I'm a little bit on the lower end, and that's only because I don't have my own space.
Sure.
And it will go up when I move into that, just because, you know, you got to pay rent. Like,
gotta pay the bills. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're also offering a more like professional, like, you know, so the prices are going up.
Okay. Long story short,
enjoy it now.
You got to pay the rent or mortgage, lights, cable, all that fun stuff. You know, it's not cheap to run a business, as we know.
Yeah.
Cost of doing business is not, and it's not getting cheaper. So yeah, we have to raise those rates. I agree. And what we do is so valuable. So like, I think it's just super important. So now we have the base membership or PT. We talked about other services you offer, ways to raise average revenue per member. We talked about the retreat piece, I believe, right? We talked about that. I think so.
Yes.
I think we did. But before that, we talked about, I can't remember if we talked about it before or after we started recording. So we'll bring it up again. But we talked about your retreat, meal prep. Now, I know we have some other things going on with like apparel and all that sort of stuff. Yes. So talk to us about that part of your business.
I think for any person that owns like a business or a company, merch is so like huge. It's just another little way where you can not only like can your clients like wear you, rep you, another form of income. So I offer like really cute matching sets, you know, like accessories like resistance bands, massage guns, you know, just stuff that people wear and use like all the time, and they feel more connected to my brand because I, you know, they're using my brand, they're seeing me for their services. So there's that connection there, as opposed to buying something on Amazon. They have no value there because they don't know it's coming from China or wherever. There's no connection. So when wearing your stuff, it's like they feel a sense of pride and like, you know, this is my trainer's brand. Like, you know, like they love it. People love it. So if you have a brand, definitely incorporate merchandise and clothes and all that into it.
I agree. And you have such a good business name that I think that's a big asset too. Like Focus Gains. It's not just like Sarah's Gym or something like that. It's like, you know.
Oh yeah, no. I think that's for small, like I think if you say like, oh, Sarah is fit, it's like you're kind of limiting yourself. If you're thinking on a grander scheme, like you want to be global, like you want everyone to be able to identify with it. Yeah. Like if you're just saying, oh, Sarah's Gym, like, you know, like, or Fit by Sarah, it's like you're limiting it to like your people. Like, you know what I mean? So it's good to have a name that everyone can identify with and feel attracted to, you know?
For sure. I think it's awesome. So yeah, I love that your mind was there already when you came up with this name, you know, years ago.
I was thinking global from the beginning. I'm like, I don't want to just
as well, right? Well, you might as well think big. What the hell? Why not? If somebody else can do it, we can do it. And I think our brand is like our overall best lead generator. So really cool that you guys. So we're thinking big here, Sarah. Global in nature. So next 12 to 18 months for you and Focus Gains as a business, what are just some of the main things you're focused on here? And I know we've touched on some things, but main thing you're focused on here for growth.
Definitely, I want to. Well, once I have the space, you know, build it out, get it kind of like the vision going, and then just kind of like build clientele base, build memberships, add more cooler services as I go, create a space, like a wellness center type space.
Yeah.
Really, I'm just growth and expansion. And then if that goes well, then opening a new spot and then a new spot, you know. So, but for now, it's really just getting it going and building up memberships and kind of the like building a name for itself.
Yeah, I agree. A great goal for sure. With this new space, do you have like a member number in mind or a capacity number in mind?
So,
going to be smaller or bigger? Like, what are you looking at? What would be great for you?
Square feet. I think the capacity is 68. At a time in a sitting. So, wow. I mean, it's pretty like medium sized, just not like a huge Planet Fitness type gym.
Right.
Their model's what, like low numbers, high. Yeah. Or yeah, don't show up and you can't, it's hard for you to cancel your membership and you forget about it because it's $10.
Right, exactly.
but yeah, so there's this kind of like high quantity, low number, like pricing. Okay. Like mine's will be more like boutique type, like where it's high prices. Sure. And high price, and then like CrossFit, like your gym used to own, you'd be like what, 100 and something a month, and you have like a lower quantity of people that come.
Right. Yeah, focus quality over quantity, but definitely a higher price point, you know, which is many ways to do it. Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's just what we do. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's again, I think what we do is super valuable, so we should charge for it. You know, now. So we've laid out kind of why you started this thing, where you are, where we're going. Sarah, where can people find you? I know you have retreats coming up, wellness retreats.
Yes, Labor Day weekend, doing a mind-body cool retreat.
So talk to us about that. I can't remember if we hit it or not. I apologize. So let's talk about it again.
So I have a mind-body soul retreat coming Labor Day weekend, September 2nd through the 5th. It's going to be in Costa Rica on Tamarindo Beach. So. Nice. If you've ever been there, it's so beautiful. It's like the perfect place to do a retreat.
Yeah.
It's warm, friendly. You get to connect to nature. It's all inclusive too. So you don't have, all you do is buy your plane ticket and you don't have to worry about anything. The itinerary set up, all the excursions, all the food, drinks, and services. There's like a lot of healing services, massages, cupping, Reiki, mindset workshops. So everything's set up. All you do is just show up, book it, show up, and just have a magical time.
Sounds great to me. And have you been to Costa Rica before? I've never been.
I have been to Costa Rica, but it was more, I was in the city. But everyone that goes like in the rainforest and, you know, does excursions and stuff like that, they're like, it's just a magical place. Like,
I've heard good things. Yeah, I've heard good things. I follow some people who live there. So like in the fitness world. So like, yeah, it seems pretty cool. Great place for a wellness retreat. That's for sure. Sarah, where can everybody else find you? Like your social media, your website, where can we find you and check you out and follow your story?
So on IG, I'm at Focus Beans. And then my website is www.focusgains.com. And basically just Focus Gains. You'll find me on Facebook. And that's pretty much all the spots that I'm on. I'm trying to create a TikTok because I heard that's like the wave. Well, it is the wave right now. So
yeah, it is too, especially in our field, right? Fitness and again, with the advertising piece, it's definitely coming hard for sure. So Sarah, this is great. I love your name. I love your model. I love all the things you have going on. And I know you're going to be successful, so I don't have to wish that to you, but I wish you all the success in the world. Thank you so much.
It was so nice meeting you.
You as well. Thank you. And listeners, we appreciate you guys as well. Please hit like and subscribe to be notified for our future episodes. And until next time, Gym Lords, we are out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.